Yeah, great King Curtis. A little more to say about him later. Okay, so here it is on Free Friday. I am going to start, if I can remember to do it, posting the Friday show free so I can entice some new listeners to subscribe. So if you're listening to this today for free, which I hope you do, just remember Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday requires a subscription, which you can get at johngibson.com. I should also mention this is really a fantastic thing that happened. If you're a new listener, we got a guy named Khalil calls at the, mostly I put him at the end of the show, and he's been wanting to put out a t-shirt, and he was working hard on it. He's a truck driver. He has to work hard on his truck. So we get this call the other day from a fan of the show, Christy Lynch O'Hara, who said she could help.
Hey, John, it's Christy, your friend from Chapel Hill and Billy Joel. Calling for my buddy Khalil. I'm over in Chapel Hill, not too far from you. I have a small home decor shop there. But, Bud, if you need any help with your website, we can meet in person. We can meet on the phone. I'll do it all for you, free of charge, and I'll even buy a t-shirt at the end. So, John, I think you know how to get a hold of me on Facebook. I will talk to you guys later. Thanks so much.
Well, you know, I did get hold of her on Facebook and said, you know, he really does need help. Overnight, she put together a Shopify website for Khalil. I mean, it is awesome. It's got a picture of him, this shirt, how to order it, how to get different sizes, how to pay for it. I mean, really stunning. And you can go to my radio page, John Gibson Radio on Facebook and see it there. I'll figure out by the end of the podcast how to see it otherwise. Okay. So more on that later. Meantime, Trump just went off yesterday. I mean, for the first time in 3 years, he has impeachment off his back for a couple of minutes. They're going to do it again. And I should tell you that it's a matter of news. They're going to, you know, payback is coming, says the New York Times. Fox says Dems are determined to continue the impeachment thing. Vindman, that schmuck, they're getting him out of the White House finally. I don't know how he hung in that long. You know, he's the guy who came in and, you know, with his uniform and his medals, and everybody said, oh my God, he's a veteran, he's served. And he's saying the president isn't allowed to make a policy that he and the National Security Council staff, who's never actually met with the president, and he knows what the national security policy should be, and the president dares violate it. So, you know, well, his ass is out.
I've always said they're lousy politicians, but they do two things. They're vicious and mean. Vicious. These people are vicious. Adam Schiff is a vicious, horrible person. Nancy Pelosi is a horrible person. And she wanted to impeach a long time ago when she said, I pray for the president. I pray for the president. She doesn't pray. She may pray, but she prays for the opposite. But I doubt she prays at all. And these are vicious people. But they do two things. They stick together. Historically, I'm not talking now. They stick together like glue. That's how they impeached, because they had whatever the number is, 220 people. So if they don't lose anybody, they'll be able to impeach anybody. You could be George Washington. You could have just won the war. And they say, let's get him out of office. And they stuck together. And they're vicious as hell.
Yeah. Nancy responded.
Again, I extended the hand of friendship to him to welcome him as the president of the United States to the People's House. It was also an act of kindness because I... to me, like he was a little sedated.
Sedated?
He looked that way last year, too.
Sedated?
But he didn't want to shake hands. That was that. That meant nothing to me. It had nothing to do with my tearing up. That came much later.
I had nothing to do with it. He didn't shake my hand. It had nothing to do with me ripping up that speech. People are all upset because yesterday Trump was holding this little sort of news conference in the East Room, and he uttered a word never heard before from a president of the United States in the East Room.
And you have to understand, we first went through Russia, Russia, Russia. It was all bullshit.
That's the word that's never been heard in the East Room. One of the papers this morning said, oh my God, he said this word that's never been heard in the East Room. Nancy, so, you know, Nancy, why did you rip up the speech?
In my view, a manifesto of mistruths, of falsehoods, blatantly, really dangerous to the well-being of the American people if they believed what he said.
You know, I'm beginning to think the best thing the Democrats could do is nominate Nancy. Trump versus Nancy, presidential campaign. I mean, come on, it'd be perfect. They both hate each other. And they both say the most vicious things about each other. It'd just be fantastic. Trump thinks that if he hadn't fired Comey, he probably would have, impeachment probably would have been successful.
It was a disgrace. Had I not fired James Comey, who was a disaster, by the way, it's possible I wouldn't even be standing here right now. We caught him in the act. Dirty cops, bad people. If this happened to President Obama, a lot of people would have been in jail for a long time already, many, many years.
Yeah, well, I think he's right about that. You know, incredible job numbers today, 225,000. I mean, you know, Christine Romans on CNN.
And this job machine just keeps churning, you guys. It's so fascinating. 225,000 net new jobs created in the month. 225,000. It's so big that it broke my machine.
It broke her machine. Nancy is appalled that Donald Trump is taking credit for the economy. Everybody knows this is the Obama economy.
Because it was appalling to hear him try to take credit for something that he and call what President Obama did a mess that he inherited, when in fact it was a great advantage to the country that President Obama's policies took us to that very positive place of growth and of job creation and deficit reduction.
And Joe Scarborough, you know, got it right once again. When you're talking about the economy, even if it looks bad for Democrats because the economy is doing good, it is the Obama economy.
We may not see economic times like this again, and my retirement accounts are doing. I mean, this is obviously, while the Democrats are fumbling around with caucus results in Iowa, this is what America's seeing. A strong economy roars on, 11th year of the Obama recovery.
11th year of the Obama recovery. You know, the gall of these people, they refuse to remember what that Obama economy was. And it, now they're, you know, sort of throwing pixie dust all over it to sort of make you believe things were really great. You were doing great. You just don't remember how great you were doing. You're mistaken. Trump got, I just have to play this. Trump got one more lick in because people tend to forget this. Jerry Nadler, you know, was going at him and will continue to go at him. He's going to subpoena John Bolton. They're going to bring these guys in. They're going to try to impeach him again. And people who haven't spent years in New York don't really understand that Trump and Nadler have been going at each other in New York City for decade after decade after decade.
I mean, Nadler, I know him much of my life. He's fought me in New York for 25 years. I always beat him. And I had to beat him another time. And I'll probably have to beat him again. Because if they find that I happen to walk across the street and maybe go against the light or something, let's impeach him. So we'll probably have to do it again because these people have gone stone cold crazy. But I've beaten them all my life. And I'll beat them again if I have to.
There was one more thing. Trump held up a newspaper. Now, this is largely visual, but I'll help you out at the right moment.
I've done things wrong in my life, I will admit. Not purposely, but I've done things wrong. But this is what the end result is.
Oh, he's holding up the Washington Post that says Trump acquitted. Big headline, Trump acquitted. What they call the wood, the biggest letters they've got in their typeset. Acquitted. Acquitted.
You could take that home, honey. Maybe we'll frame it. It's the only good headline I've ever had in the Washington Post.
It's true. It's true. The Andrew Weissman, who led the impeachment investigation, the Mueller investigation. In fact, once we saw Mueller testify, we realized that Mueller himself really had nothing to do with it. It was really all about Andrew Weissman. He went on MSNBC to explain that if Trump had just sat down for an interview under oath, they were going to be able to throw him out of office. And that was what they were aiming to do.
There is legal jeopardy that attaches if you sit for an interview or if you say something under oath to federal prosecutors, to the House, to the Senate. So if you notice, the president is happy to talk today about, oh, this is evil and these people are corrupt. But when it came time for him to sort of put up or shut up, which is, are you willing to actually say this under oath or even in an interview, he's completely silent. So to me, one classic way of dealing with this is to say, you know, a lot of your people testified and they were willing to come in and say something under oath, mm-hmm. under the penalty of perjury. Where were you?
Well, where was he? He was wisely staying away from you, you creep. There's one other issue. Nancy Pelosi talked about the person now known as Saint Mitt.
So yesterday the Senate acted, first time in history that a senator has voted against his own president in a decision regarding impeachment. God bless him for his courage.
Yeah, you know, I talked yesterday about how Mitt just didn't realize he was mistaken. He thought this was a question of, you know, was Trump guilty of something for which he ought to be removed from office? And in reality, what it was a political knife fight, in which the Democrats were determined to take him out. And it was a question not of, do you want Trump in office so much as, do you want to give those Democrats power? And, I think Mitt just forgot where he was, because the very same people that not that long ago were accusing him of the most foul stuff. I mean, I remember Bob Beckel, when it looked like Mitt was getting the nomination. Beckel was doing the five at the time, and he told me out in a breezeway, he said, Mitt's dirty, Mitt's dirty. And I go, what? Mitt's dirty? Mitt's dirty. Yeah, Mitt's dirty. We're going to get him. Mitt's dirty. As of yesterday, he was Saint Mitt.
Wow. That was extraordinary. That was pure honesty and emotion from Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney, of course, the former Republican nominee. In the moment, as he was speaking, it felt historic.
I mean, Mitt Romney is known for being just an ice water in his veins kind of guy.
Swearing an oath before God for Mitt Romney is like unlocking his superpower.
He's a little like Fortinbras in Act 5 of Hamlet, right?
Mm-hmm. Not a lot seems to faze him.
When I heard him explain with such elegance and simplicity, tears came to my eyes.
I've always had such great respect for him.
That was a true profile and courage speech.
Yeah, let's just remember.
The last time round, they denounced him for putting his dog on the roof and driving the dog to Canada. This time, the dog can't get on the roof because Chris Matthews and Chris Cuomo are all on the roof of Romney's car saying, drive us anywhere you like. We love you.
And Mark Stein went on to remind us of some of the really gory details when they were out to destroy Mitt Romney.
Harry Reid, then, without any evidence whatsoever, said Romney never paid his taxes. And none of these Democrats and media who are now defending St. Mitt as the greatest thing ever, the one who has had the Pauline conversion and heard the voice of God ringing in his ears, telling Mitt to impeach and convict Trump. None of those people defended Mitt against Harry Reid. Mitt is the reason we have Trump, because Mitt was called everything that Trump is called: racist, sexist, binders full of women, doesn't pay his taxes, vampire capitalist who flies in your window at night and gives you cancer. Everything they said about Trump, they said about Mitt. The difference was Mitt never pushed back. And in 2016, people decided, 2015 actually, the Republican base decided that the essential quality they were looking for was someone who didn't let himself get slapped around by Candy Crowley, as Mitt did in that debate.
Yeah, I mean, that is the thing. You know, Candy Crowley did it to him. Obama did it to him. You know, in the 1980s, calling want their Russia policy back. I mean, there were just so many things where Mitt didn't fight back because he wasn't allowed to fight back against Barack Obama in his mind, that would be, you know, racist, I guess. He wasn't allowed to fight back against Candy Crowley because that would be dissing a woman, I guess. I mean, I don't really know why Mitt never really fought back. And I think that Mark Stein is right, that people voted for Trump in a lot of ways because he would fight back, and they knew it. It was, here's a guy who isn't going to take it. And they were happy to, go with that kind of guy. And so I think Stein is right. And in some ways, it really is true that we wound up with Donald Trump because of Mitt Romney. There's some other odds and ends to clean up here. Pete Buttigieg is claiming absolute victory over Iowa. Now, he is, in terms of percentage points, 100% finally in Iowa. In terms of percentage points, he is 0.1% ahead of Bernie Sanders. I think the way they count votes there, I think that Bernie's ahead in the total number of votes. But Pete's got this teeny, teeny margin of victory, and he is playing it to the hilt.
They're not complete, but results are in from a majority of precincts, and they show our campaign in first place. So we don't know all of the numbers, but we know this much. A campaign that started a year ago with 4 staff members, no name recognition, no money, just a big idea. A campaign that some said should have no business even making this attempt has taken its place at the front of this race to replace the current president with a better vision for the future.
Now, I just remind you, South Carolina's coming up. There's no soundbites today from Joe Biden. He was off the road. He's back in Delaware. his campaign bus sitting in front of a hotel in New Hampshire, gathering with his advisors, figuring out what the hell are they going to do. And, of course, it doesn't have anything to do with advisors. It has to do with Joe. He was in fourth place in Iowa. It looks like he might end up something similar in New Hampshire. He's counting on South Carolina, but that may not be enough. And Pete Buttigieg is going to run into a wall in South Carolina. That's a state where black voters are extremely important. And I think it's just worth saying, black voters aren't buying this gay thing. They never have. And, you know, one of the things that you notice about the Buttigieg campaign is the husband is not making appearances anymore. The husband is stashed someplace. There were people in Iowa who didn't know that Pete Buttigieg had a husband. And when they found out, wanted to take their vote back. I mean, I think he's going to, you know, hit a wall when he hits South Carolina. And look, I wouldn't vote for him for a bunch of reasons. None of them, the fact that he's gay, or none of them, the fact that he has a husband. I just think that that's something that most Americans aren't going to vote for. I wouldn't vote for him because I think he's inexperienced. I think he's mastered the art of the Obama lofty speech, but it's vacuous and empty. And, you know, if I were a Democrat, I wouldn't vote for him. I'm not. But if they vote for him and he gets a nomination, I can promise you Trump will crush him, embarrass him. We may not see Iowa kicking off the election season again.
I think a caucus structure is undemocratic. It doesn't allow for people who are working class, people who work the night shift, people who have small children, the babysitter who's over 18 who's staying with those kids so the parents can go caucus. You're disenfranchising certain voters. And historically, the people that you are disenfranchising happen to be lower class and often people of color. So my point is that it's a structural problem within the primary process, and the Democratic Party should look at whether or not they should change either the order of the states so that more diverse states, somebody threw out Michigan, I think perhaps doing a regional primary where it's a couple different states voting at the same time.
That's Zerlina Maxwell, an African-American commentator on MSNBC. She claims that that Iowa is essentially a racist exercise. It's white voters. There are very few people of color. And it's a white privileged state, and it shouldn't be launching. Now, meantime, Tom Perez is trying to dodge any blame for the disaster that was Iowa, which virtually accounts for nothing. For Bernie Sanders, once again, it appears that the Democrats have screwed Bernie Sanders, and he's really mad about it. He's gone after Perez about that disaster in Iowa.
How much of this is on you, Chairman?
Well, again, the Iowa Democratic Party runs the caucus, okay? And what happened was unacceptable.
Yeah. In further primary news, Elizabeth Warren is getting all teary on the air because three women of color bolted her campaign left in a hurry, in a huff, in Nevada, charging the campaign wasn't properly respectful of their point of view and their ideas. In other words, they were racist. So Elizabeth Warren is apologizing. I'm sorry you had a bad experience with the campaign, blah, 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 blah. In other words, some of this identity politics, which the Democrats love to promote, is coming back to bite them in the ass. And I, for one, am glad to see it. Okay, back to the list and links. Obviously, the jobs report is a big deal. 225,000 new jobs. The story in the New York Post, I had this yesterday, but it really is true. The New York Times is showing record revenue growth. The New York Times is making, it struck gold with Donald Trump, making fortunes off Donald Trump. You would think they'd work for his reelection, because bitching about Donald Trump is truly, truly a goldmine for the New York Times. I thought this was a fantastic story in the New York Times, the Social Justice Warriors, a new literary prize that's going to give $150,000 to a female author. So my question is, can a transgender female win? Can that happen? LA Times, Greta Thunberg's flight shaming is starting to worry airlines. Tech, Uber gained revenue, $4 billion in revenue the last quarter, but lost $1.1 billion. I just don't get it. Why is this a miracle of technology? You lose $1.1 billion? Wall Street Journal, feds are using cell phone data, location pings, to go after illegals. These illegals are crossing the border with their phones on. And the feds can look at it and say, well, there they are, and run out there and grab them. Technology has done so much for us. Once again, let me...
John, it's me.
Yeah, it is you. Hang on a second. Hang on just a second. So Khalil's Facebook, his shirt, Christy Lynch O'Hara, has done this. It's... let me just give you the website. It's called Real Deal Khalil at myshopify.com. And there's dashes between Real Deal and Khalil. Real-deal-khalil.myshopify.com. And on this lovely site, there's two different shirts, two different backs. One of them is cross country with Khalil and John in the truck. And the other one is Now That's Black. The shirts are $20. There's ways to order it, order the shirt and pick sizes and stuff. And you can contact him at realdealkhalil@yahoo.com. And Christy Lynch O'Hara did this for Khalil overnight, literally did this last night and slapped it up there. real-deal-khalil.myshopify.com. Amazing. And really nice of her to do that. So big thanks to Christy Lynch O'Hara.
Hey, old John, it's me. Well, I see Joe Biden's son is just about to get his ass reamed right good. Then I found they got the Treasury to get up off in his paperwork. Joe Biden needed to learn how to keep his mouth shut. And talking about keeping your mouth shut, what the hell is this damn coronavirus? They saying that it comes from them eating some type of fucking monster-looking type of damn animal over in China. Hey, sometimes there's some things you just can't put in your mouth, all right? Somebody need to tell them that. There's some things you can't put in your mouth, and I'm going to leave that alone.
Then we know what you
AOC
mean.
AOC and the Democrats, they want to turn around and they want to protect criminals from being deported. What the fuck is wrong with these people?
Yeah, man? That's right. It's true.
I don't get it, man. I don't get it at all. I don't see why. What the hell they got with these damn, what type of fetish they got, man? They got some type of crazy-ass fetish where they always want to just be damn illegal aliens. These guys don't give a damn about them. They don't give a fuck about them, because if they had their choice, they'd come over here, they'd do their damn work, and they probably wouldn't vote any fucking way. So fuck it, man. And, yo, you know what, and I was thinking about Hunter Biden, man. a lot of people might say, you know, oh, what happened with Hunter Biden? Oh, that's the proof of white privilege, That ain't white privilege. That's a fucking criminal enterprise. It wouldn't make a damn difference if they were white, black, green, purple, or yellow. It don't matter. That is a criminal enterprise. It needs to be treated as such. And I like to see Biden and all his damn family members locked the fuck up. Yeah? Let's let him see what it looked like on the inside. Go in there and hang out with Bernie Madoff. He trying to get his ass out of prison. I'm dying. You going to die right there in the damn jail cell, fool. Man, shit. Yo, John, look here, man. All that is great and fine, but yo, you hooked me up with the perfect lady, man. Miss Christy O'Hara with, let's see, out of Chapel Hill, man. Oh, my goodness. She has got my webpage hooked up, going, and everything, man. So I got a big shout-out for Miss Christy, and just saying thank you. I appreciate you. I want everybody to go to Real Deal Khalil at Shopify.com, and you will be able to order shirts, sizes, autographs, all the things that you're going to ever want. We got it going on. If I don't see you there, that means you sold out to the communists and Purdy Brook, to the communists and Bernie Sanders. So if you don't go to the site, you're hanging out with Bernie Sanders. Now I'm only messing people, but I love to see everybody there. All right, John. Y'all be good. Thank you, thank you. Dan Conway, yo, my man, 10 grand. Christy O'Hara, oh my goodness. I tell you what, Johnny boy, I'm gone.
Okay, so let me correct Khalil. His website is real-deal-khalil.myshopify.com. Now, you got to have those dashes in there. real-deal-khalil.myshopify.com. You can order the shirts and the right sizes and all the stuff. I mean, Christy O'Hara really fixed him up, and thanks to her for that. It's King Curtis's birthday. This is such a terrible story. King Curtis is, just one of the great saxophone players ever. He was known in rhythm and blues and rock and roll and soul and blues and funk and jazz, band leader, band member, session musician for Atlantic Records in New York. He was King Curtis around Atlantic. I came to Atlantic just after he died. I'm very sorry that I didn't get a chance to meet him. And what he died of was just horrible. He was 37 years old. He came out of his front door at his brownstone in Harlem, and there was a homeless guy sleeping on his stoop. And King Curtis said, "Hey man, you got to move along." And the guy reached up with a knife and stabbed him, and killed him right on the spot. Terrible, terrible thing. Now, while playing those great records at Atlantic, he did this, the Coasters, Yakety Yak.
Take out the papers and the trash, or you don't get no spending cash.
There he is.
If you don't spread that kitchen floor, you ain't gonna rock and roll no more. Yakety Yak.
Don't go back.
Just finish cleaning up your room. Let's see that dust fly with that broom. Get all that garbage out of sight, or you don't go out Friday night. Yakety-yak!
Don't go back.
You just put on your coat and hat and walk yourself to the laundromat. And when you finish doing that, bring in the
the cat. Yak-a-yak.
Don't hold back.
This is just unbelievable. Great King Curtis. His name was Curtis Owsley, born this day, 1934, in Fort Worth, Texas. Died August 13th, 1971, in New York City. Just a great, great talent. And lots of King Curtis albums out there. So you should go check out King Curtis. It is the John Gibson Podcast. Write to me at host@johngibson.com. I didn't read letters today, but there was a few, especially about Mitt Romney. Call the Bitch Box at 859-544-2766. Follow me on Twitter at Gibson Radio. And don't forget the Facebook page, John Gibson Radio Facebook. Go there and check things out. King Curtis.